Betsy and Thomas here for the American Intelligence Media, and we're here with Michael McKibben, and we're talking about the big win we had yesterday. But the Democrats, well, we're just going to hear a death rattle from them all the way through the end of December. And to keep your hopes up, remember, people, way back in, I think it was February in 2020, I asked Douglas to look astrologically as what would happen, what in store for us this year. We knew it was going to be a significant year for our presidential elections. And Douglas reminded us again that there would be a lot of things happening right through to December, and that the outcome wouldn't be known until December. So Douglas, let's open up that way. And then I know we have so much to say. I will not cut you off until everybody has said everything they need to say.
Well, I'm just going to say an opening, and that's a lot of people are very upset about this. And we're going to try to not only give you some hope, but also explain the realities here so that you can see that what we had already predicted long before, long before we predicted that he would win the night of the election, but that through trickery, through chicanery, and through shenanigans, they would do everything they could to stop the narrative that Joe Biden loses, okay? And that's what happened. They froze up the numbers where the Electoral College numbers were the highest they could give Joe, the lowest they could give Trump, so it looked like Trump is behind Biden and also in oftentimes the popular vote is higher than what the Electoral College is going to give you. So Hillary, you know, claimed that she had, you know, millions of votes more than Trump did, and therefore she should win because there should be no Electoral College. I'm going to explain some things about the Electoral College today that are going to blow your mind, because a conclave member, one of our legal eagles, Christopher Strunk, just spent a couple hours on the phone with me explaining things that I didn't know. And I'm a civics teacher, for heaven's sakes. You'd think I would know these things, but nobody knows these things unless you've entered into court cases to fight this on a constitutional level. So, you know, my opening words are, don't worry. We already predicted all of this. Of course, he's going to win, but it's going to go to the Supreme Court. Some sections have already gone to the Supreme Court. The Pennsylvania State Supreme Court has already sent up their ruling, and John Roberts refused to listen to it. Texas has already sent up a circuit court federal ruling stating that drive-through voting, wouldn't even hear of hearing the case. So as active fraud is taking place, you're not going to find a court that's going to want to hear this, but Trump is the president, and we're going to get to the powers he has here in a little while. So, Michael, what do you think of this beautiful election?
I finally turned off the TV and went to bed at 11:30 because I could see that the shenanigans were starting. I mean, who can't? If you have any intuition at all, you can see when they start just arbitrarily stopping counting that somebody made a decision to do that. So what we did is we put our crack researchers on the angle that we've been pursuing now with these people, and that is to discover what the backgrounds are of the people involved at these different states that are pushing these agendas. And we decided to focus on your beloved state, Douglas, and start looking at why the numbers are starting to change and who is behind that. And one thing we did know, and people have talked about this for many years, is that George Soros has been putting a lot of money into getting secretaries of state elected around the country. And so if we kind of use that as a basic guide, we needed to start looking for who were the operatives in these states that were schooled by this influence. And wouldn't you know it, that your own Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, is a prime player. Now, one of the things, as you know, we've been talking about, and that is the role of the Pilgrim Society in recruiting American politicians to pursue this globalist agenda. And I guess we had no preconceptions about this Jocelyn Benson. I had never heard of her. And as I'm asking people in Michigan, most Michiganders haven't heard of her. But we know about her now as of this morning. And Betsy's putting out a compilation that our folks put together on her background and her bio. And this is all based on published information related to her various campaigns, and I can summarize the peak of the findings, Douglas. After she was born in 1997, she's only 43 years old, so she doesn't have that much life experience. She went to Wellesley College in 1995, and then, wouldn't you know it, in 1999 to 2001, she went and studied at Oxford University in England, and she was on a Marshall Scholarship. And we just looked up the description of the Marshall Scholarship, and the whole first paragraph describes how it was a scholarship set up to bring Americans to Europe in thanks for all of the efforts that General George Marshall achieved in developing the strength, I'm quoting now, the strength of the special relationship between Britain and the U.S.
Can I puke now, or do you? Can I wait? I don't know. This is just,
I already did.
It's just nasty. What the British plan, yeah, to take over America is so insidious, and the Democrats are all a part of it. This is why it's so appalling that more people are not aware of the real American history.
Right, and it even gets more interesting because she studied at Magdalen College. Sociological implications of white supremacy and neo-Nazism. This is in 99 to 2001. And I'm just going to leave that subject alone, because who would get a master's degree, master's of philosophy, in that particular topic? Because what she did after that is she went to Harvard. She studied, worked at the Southern Poverty Law Center. She was a legal assistant for Nina Totenberg at National Public Radio. She went on to Harvard Law School. She was an editor in the Civil Rights, Civil Liberties section of the Harvard Law Review. She started a Harvard Civil Rights project called Voting Rights. She was an activist in Help America Vote. She went to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. She studied for a while as a clerk in the Sixth Circuit. And then magically, she became associate professor at Wayne State University, did a number of things in political organizing related to elections and election integrity and redistricting. She did nothing but political activism all through 2010 to 2016. She became a dean of Wayne State College of Law. Now, tell me something here where this woman has any experience at all besides political organizing. And so what we now see is, because of that nurturing she got with the Marshall Scholarship on the special relationship, which, okay, this is a quiz, Douglas, for you, history.
I'm always ready.
I'm trying to help you here. But when did the special relationship start? Do you remember now? Yes.
The year that it started? Well, that's technically it started in 1909 at the Empire Press Union Conference.
Churchill came over and is talking to, was it Truman on the back of that railroad car? Was that like 1945?
That was 1946, March 5th.
Which probably means they had it all planned in 1945, but just didn't let us know until a year later.
Oh, they did, because the UN was created, what, in 1943? So anyway, we have a woman who was paid by the Pilgrim Society in England to come and study at Harvard on the Marshall Scholarship, which specifically focused on this, quote, special relationship, which we know is Five Eyes, that was created on March 5th, 46 as well. So on the same day that Churchill and Truman announced the special relationship and talk about the Iron Curtain threat, we see this group of people coming out of Oxford recruiting American students to come over and get indoctrinated by the Pilgrim Society in Oxford before they're sent back and groomed across these various organizations that I've just talked about.
This is a type of Rhodes Scholar.
Oh, yeah. It's just another angle on Rhodes Scholarships, and it's all run by the same Privy Council people. So we had Lord Rothschild.
Not to sidebar too much, but Josh Hawley, that senator that I have, I don't think he's a good guy. I think you're going to see in time he's not. He also has this thing about going to Oxford. He says he was a teacher for a year at some private school out there. No, that's when he was getting his globalist indoctrination, I believe. But we'll go into that another day if he doesn't toe the party line.
Okay. She studied sociology at Oxford, which we know is propaganda, mind control, forming the public opinion or creating the public opinion, as they say in the Pilgrim Society. Then she came immediately out of Oxford and went to the Southern Poverty Law Center, where she was researching white supremacist and neo-Nazi organizations. So all I see in this woman's resume is a troublemaker. And then now magically, she's the Secretary of your state, and she is the one. Secretaries of state are the ones that are responsible for the election systems in the states. And so here's my general suggestion to researchers all over the country. Focus on your Secretary of State and his or her background, because I'll bet anything you're going to see the same profile.
She is a George Soros minion, just like Rashida Tlaib down in Dearborn, just like Gretchen Whitmer, the most Nazi Soros representative in America at this point. She was supposed to be the vice presidential running mate of George of Biden, but you know, they had to settle for a non-natural born citizen, Kamala Harris, as the vice president, which is going to get them in some real trouble if they wish to push this, which I'll get into in a minute. But begin with, first off, this election. The Democrats are such party poopers. You know, last time they cried and cried and cried afterwards. They all said they were going to leave, you know, the whole country and never come back. All these lies. And so they're mad when they don't have a liar elected to president. And so the liars are going out of their mind. I would like to now just make sure that I name them what they are. Liberal retards, libtards. They are the worst of the worst. Anyone who voted for Joe Biden, literally went out and voted for Joe Biden, has proven that their IQ is below 70, which means, you know, they need some special help. So this is basically, you were just mentioning it, the Secretary of State's in 2018, George Soros put out more money in that election than he put out in any midterm election. Why? Because he bought every Secretary of State in every blue state or every battleground state. He literally went out and bought them. And so being told by you with the evidence, because you always like to back it up with evidence, that our Secretary of State is corrupt, yes, and so is our Board of Elections, and so is the electors that we elect to represent us in the Electoral College. And there's just so much confusion about all this, but there are things that can be done. So we just need to, and we did point out in the 2018 election, that there were 17 Democrats who made it into the House by harvesting ballots after the election. This is illegal. Now, it is illegal in the state, but what federal rights are there to stop them from doing this insanity? And that's what I talked with Christopher Strunk about today. Where is the leverage that the president can use to turn this thing into some real justice and or a true election? Well, to begin with, it can't be a true election. Absolutely can't be. Why? Because we have 22 illegal alien, undocumented illegal aliens in this country, DACA, Dreamers, and then all of the criminals. Now, let's remember, if you snuck into this country and you're still here and you're able to apply for a Social Security number and the Social Security gives you a Social Security number, you are basically a really good criminal. So we only allow the really good criminals to stay. And once we lock them up, oh, we have to release them because of the libtards in the blue states want to release the prisoners, as they did now. As a matter of fact, you are released on your own recognizance in New York right now by your own word. So you could kill somebody, go into jail in New York City, and on your own recognizance and your own word, you are released back onto the street. That's happening right now. Why? Because that's what Hitler did. That's what all the fascists do. They open the prisons And what did we have? Mike Bloomberg paid to buy prisoner votes in Florida, giving convicted felons who are interned at this moment the right to vote. Well, hello, then you don't know the law. And it is illegal. It is a federal crime. It is a felony, federal crime, to vote when you're not a citizen. So that means Gavin Newsom in California, with 5 to 6 million voting illegal aliens, his electoral college count and his election number count, they can't be acknowledged. So Trump can tell the National Archivist to refuse to accept the fraudulent votes of California. And at that point, Trump can then demand the federal rule, which is to prove by a paper count 3% of the vote that you're saying that you're verifying and sending in your electoral college votes on. Because the federal government does not have to accept the state's elections. That's the reality. Has this ever been contested? No. Can it be? Yes. It's on the law. It's part of the way that it was set up to begin with. It's the checks and balances of our system. So the National Archivist is the person who accepts the Electoral College vote. Now, here is what they tried to do last night. This is unprecedented in history, and I believe because the libtards are showing who they are and the rhinos, that the elections are always rigged. They're financially rigged from the beginning. They are nothing more than a popularity contest based upon who can produce the best Hollywood production for the presidential election and or for the Senate, particularly a lot of money, and then sometimes for the House of Representatives. So this is nothing more than it's theater, dark theater, with just they assume that the audience will not willingly suspend their disbelief. You would have to be stupid to believe this stuff. Okay, so here they give every single vote they can to Joe Biden, even calling states that he didn't win yet. And, you know, giving him the incredible margin of error for predicting he's going to win. So they bring it up to the highest number they can. And then they then bring up Trump only ignoring 4 or 5 states, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania. Those states could all go to Trump and would if they took the standard calculations they usually use for predictions. If those go, of course, he wins. But they're not going to give him any of those, because they have to hold those in abeyance, anything close, to say that the harvested ballots, the ballots that come in afterwards, the ballots that have to still be counted, if they were sent in before the election, what kind of pathetic election machine do you have in your state that you can't produce the count of those that have already been sent in? You'd have to be an idiot to believe this. But we saw it in Florida, in Broward County last year, where they just kept bringing in truck after truck after truck and extending the time for the election counting to happen by the election official there. And we literally watched her bring in so many ballots that were for the Democrats. So 17 seats in the House of Representatives were stolen by ballot harvesting. Right now, Detroit just magically found overnight 130,000 votes that were ballots that had been sent in. But remember, they tried to give a permission for those to extend for months, if possible, in some states, or that there can be no limit right up to the time of the Electoral College vote, that they can continue to count ballots that they found here or there in trash cans or wherever they found them. So in Detroit, 130,000 ballots were found last night, every one of them cast for Joe Biden. That's ballot harvesting. In Texas, we've already had a contentious act in a Supreme Court.
Wait a minute. Let's say ballot harvesting. It's fraud. It's criminal. This is treason. This is a hard coup going down, and every one of these players needs to be on trial for treason, and if found guilty, they need to be executed. We are tired of this shit. I am fed up with it, the Democrats and their 4 years of keeping Trump from doing what the will of the people want. And then we got to get rid of the senior executive service. These are the bureaucrats that are there in Washington also thwarting the will of the people. The people are sick of it. All Trump needs to do is tweet and tell his army to come to Washington, and we are ready to take them all out.
The U.S. Marshals acting underneath Homeland Security could arrest.
Well, then they better act.
Anyone, all of these fraudulent acts are federal felonies.
Okay, now, they are, but who's going to do anything about
if it? If they are committed by an illegal alien, in other words, if Gavin Newsom, first off, he has to be arrested because of his fraud. He allows people with California driver's license to vote, knowing that they're illegal aliens with false social security numbers in many, many, many cases. So he has to be arrested. But of course, we know that this is a rogue anarchist state that is in the hands of the globalists who doesn't want walls and is the place where most people come up missing in America and where the biggest frauds are happening that more than we can even imagine. So you're absolutely right, Betsy. These are federal felonies. Now, you either go to jail for a long, long time, or if you're an illegal alien and you just voted, you need to be picked up and deported.
Well, Kamala Harris hasn't proven that she is a U.S. citizen, and she's sitting in the Senate. So she votes all the time. When is she going to be thrown out of the country?
And she went through many stages of having to falsify her documentation that she's an American citizen when she has never renounced her Jamaican citizenship. And Christopher Strunk has a case on that in a circuit court, federal circuit court, in Texas. And he's basically stating that Kamala and that the Biden ticket is fraudulent. Therefore, the National Archivist can reject it based upon that, because that's what the checks and balance system is. We do not have a democratic government. We have a democratic republic. So there's democratic ideas, but the voice of the masses, the mobs, that's what we're going to see, because they've tried to back it up to in a George Soros election fraud contesting. They tried to make it look like Trump hasn't won the Electoral College votes yet, and now he's going to steal Biden's truly elected position. Now, that is complete nonsense. Biden doesn't have the numbers in any way you can count to get to 270. Trump has 1,000, you know, it's absolutely going to go that way. But as they do these fraudulent activities, they're going to try to simply say, okay, there was a margin of 200,000, so we simply ballot harvest 201,000 ballots. And we're going to take as long as we want, because you have to get the numbers just real close.
Make them all go to Joe. I mean, is this the most stupid thinking ever? We picked up all these ballots and they were all Joe for Joe?
Well, let me tell you something. This Secretary of State effort that your illustrious Secretary of State was involved in, that was funded by George Soros, had as one of their primary tenets to lobby the state legislatures to change their laws, to change the way that absentee ballots are handled. And that specifically, they were looking in Ohio, for example, only certain people can handle an absentee ballot. So if one is coming to me, only my immediate family members can assist me with that. And so their idea was, well, that's unfair. People need to have other people eventually help them. So what they've advocated for is that anyone can help you handle your vote, not certain family members. And I'll bet anything we're going to see a one-to-one correlation where they've been able to change that to let anybody change the ballots. And certainly Benson up in Michigan tried to get that change pushed through and got a judge to agree with that. And then it was fortunately last month, I think, overturned by an appeals court. So it was close to happening. It had actually happened in Michigan and was pulled back at the last minute. My guess is they carried on with that plan anyway, because they were too far down in their planning.
George Soros non-government organizations have not only supported people like Rashida Tlaib and Gretchen Whitmer and Benson, but they've supported the lawyers who defend these cases. There have been dozens of cases about elections since 2018. And who was it that was there manning the ship? Those were George Soros supported through government directly, in many cases, direct donations to their campaigns, but also through non-government organizations that is just a way to launder money and make it look like you're not committing election financing fraud. So yes, what we're seeing here is the strangest case in history, but they're setting up the narrative to make it look like they can say that Trump stole the election from Biden and he needs to be removed by force, because Biden and the gang of libtards.
You've been saying that for 6 months, haven't you?
Yes, I predicted all of this. So what do we have now? we have even Breitbart and Fox News stopping and freezing all at the same number at the same exact time and then saying they will not count votes beyond that. Well, now that's absolutely insane. That's not possible. They have to report, and they have to report under very specific conditions set up by their own state, and those are now being violated. So the National Archivist, who of course is...
Hey, let me stop you a second. They just decide to stop the count. Now, for any of us who've had employees and had projects and had deadlines, when you get close to your deadlines, you just suck up and get it done, even if you've got to work long hours. What is it with these bureaucrats that all of a sudden they've got to go home and have tea because they got tired that day in the most important election perhaps in our republic? And now we're seeing them mess with the timing of the count. They can't get the count done on time. Give me a break.
Mike, remember, they are the enemy. They are literally the enemy of the United States. And so is the corporate media. And we have shown that and proven it in all different kinds of ways. And people, what you're seeing with Breitbart and Fox News, all those places that you thought were places that supported you as a conservative, they don't. Don't give them your eyeballs anymore. They have not earned it.
It's obvious.
We are seeing World War III. And this is a war between the globalists and the patriotic populace of each nation. And why do I say this? Because the plandemic is completely fake. The CDC has come out and said that all of their numbers, 230,000 people have not died of COVID at all. They said 51,000 of them died only of heart attacks. And they brought the number down to about 40,000 people. But they don't mention that in the flu category at the same exact time, 60 to 90,000 people usually die of flu, and they say 6,000 people died. So basically, you have to question whether there is more than just a few cases of COVID.
In the pandemic, you're saying COVID's the vaccine for a flu. if the flus have dropped to nothing, that means it's a cure for the flu.
Yes, it is, because the CDC has now announced that they will not be counting flu deaths in this flu season because they got called out as fraud because they had to post the real numbers on their site in a hidden place. We found it. We brought it forth. Now OAN and everyone else has it, and they have reports on it every other day, basically. And now the CDC has come out, Redfield, and said, yes, it is true that at least 3/4 of the deaths that we have attributed to COVID-19 were not COVID-19. So imagine, take away 3/4 of those numbers at least, and what you have is some incidental number of flu deaths in relationship to the big picture each year caused us to break all the rules about election. So therefore, they didn't want anybody going to the polls. They wanted it all be done by mail. And so you have 80 million ballots that were sent out. And sometimes the ballots didn't even have Pence's name on it with Trump in California and in other states. So they were invalid ballots to begin with, which didn't even give Trump a chance to be elected because the ballot wasn't even complete so that you could vote for him.
Douglas, this is exactly the subject that Jocelyn Benson has studied ever since she went to Oxford and Harvard. This is her topic. She's the expert at it.
Harvard. Those are intellectual aristocrats. Those are Americans who go to Europe, to England, to Britain, to get their intellectual aristocracy badge. And once they have that and they're a Rhodes Scholar or they go into Cambridge or Oxford, they have been, just like Betsy said, completely brainwashed with British imperialism, which is a horrifying form of racism. But anyway, the deal is that there have been so many election irregularities. For instance, the unrequested mail-in ballots shouldn't exist. Now, they give them out to the military because they're active military and they know that those are citizens in almost every case who do vote. But if they're felons, they aren't supposed to vote. Or if they're actually from, something other than one of the 50 states. But the point is the military get automatically, if they are outside of the country, they get mail-in ballots. Old people, oftentimes, because I know lots of people who do this, they can't get out to vote, so they request ahead of time, as a registered voter, a ballot sent to them that has their name, address, everything certified on it, and they must sign it with their own signature, which matches up with their signature card for the registration for voting for the election. But now judges have determined, especially in Pennsylvania, that the signature on the provisional ballot doesn't have to match anything. Not only that, the ballot harvesting is also conducted by Democrats, libtards, going into retirement homes and getting people who really don't even know what they're talking about, tell them who to vote for, they mark it. And then in many cases, these people couldn't sign their own name because they were so frail that the libtards themselves, the ballot harvesters, signed them. And we have pictures of people going up to ballot boxes and stuffing them with 50 ballots. Okay, we have homes in California that received 24 ballots, some for dead people, some for people who'd lived there before, even 7 years before, in some cases to their dog or to their cat because they had an address. So we're talking about ballots everywhere in California, illegal aliens who think that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to give them amnesty. So they're putting their life on the line, committing a federal felony to simply fill in these ballots, sign it anything they want, and drop them in the mail.
Well, can you go back to this topic that because of the massive amounts of fraud going on in California, that their elector should not even be seated for the Electoral College. Did Chris Strunk talk to you about that?
Yes, and he informed me of some rules I didn't know about. The National Archivist is the person who says, sorry, I reject the electoral vote because of either a tie or fraud. If he says it's a tie, then it goes through this complicated process I'll explain. If it is fraud, it goes to the Supreme Court. That's why the dangling chads had to go to the Supreme Court during Al Gore's time. And who was it that represented him at that time? William Barr. Oh, yeah, that's right. Good old Fat Willie. So, you know, now if it goes to the Supreme Court, we already have John Roberts precedent that he refused to hear cases from Pennsylvania, from Texas, and other states that have risen to the Supreme Court level. He wouldn't put it on the docket. So when Pennsylvania extended their ballot harvesting time for a week after the election based upon no reason whatsoever, COVID, and that's the reason we get all this mail-in stuff, or that the governor sent out ballots, illegal ballots that weren't requested. This is insanity. This is the worst and clearest fraud of any election I've ever seen, except for maybe when Putin got reelected for life in Russia.
But according to what you're saying, is that the Supreme Court wouldn't have a choice there. They would have to rule on it. So Roberts would have to show his colors. And we know that he is an agent for the Knights of Malta. He is... And, you know, to say it in Betsy language, hey, he is not for our team, folks. And we have seen this time and time again. So this was why it was so important to get Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court. Yet we are very disturbed out here in her ruling about a similar issue with the extension of mail-in ballots that she recently ruled on. So can we even count on her?
I'm not sure we can. The concern that our folks had when we looked into her background, not so much her resume, but her financial holdings. Her financial holdings had the definite imprint, fingerprint of the Pilgrim Society insiders. And so it looks like she and her husband have been coached on what investments to make. And it happens to be in all the magical companies that continue to make profit every year. So, she would so easily be intimidated if somebody brought up the fact that, hey, you got that tip a couple of years ago, and we might let that come out if you don't vote our way.
Easily. That kind of manipulation happens all the time. We got to see John Roberts go off to the University of Malta to give a talk. Instead of talking at a renowned university in America, he went off for a secret meeting in Malta, the number one place for offshore accounts and for illegal dealings.
That was the day after his Obamacare vote.
Exactly. That's where he got his payoff. Now, let's go back to what was being said here with Betsy's remarks. Would the Supreme Court have the courage to face this? No, they won't. We've already seen in Texas with the drive-through voting that the judge said, I'm not going to make a rule. He threw it out. I'm not going to make a ruling on this. I'm going to allow it to continue because it's already in process. So imagine the Supreme Court getting the notice that Pennsylvania went to Biden and some other state went to Biden, and so Biden wins, or that Trump wins and then they contest it. Doesn't matter. If it goes to the Supreme Court, they're going to do the same thing John Roberts already did, which is defer to oblivion. That's what he's good at. I will defer this to oblivion. I won't let it be heard. I won't put it on the agenda. Now, will it be forced to be put on the agenda?
Do anything either, is he?
Who?
Bill Barr.
Oh, Bill Barr is just going to follow whoever it is that's paying him off.
He'll defer to Roberts.
Oh, of course, he'll always have the right thing to say, but that isn't what he's doing. Remember, he says one thing and does something else. We now know that to be just his MO, his modus operandi. So the point is, if the National Archives says, oh, there's a tie, then it goes into this process. I'll explain in a second. But they say there's fraud. It goes to the Supreme Court. Do we think the Supreme Court has the oomph, has the courage, or has the honesty or the belief in justice to actually state that, in fact, there was fraud? Here's the fraud. Nancy Pelosi certified that Joe Biden was a viable candidate when she knew he was committing treason, because the State Department had already said there was improper things done with he and Burisma and his son, and they were looking into it, and then it was squelched. Okay, first off. Second off, she then found out, because it's been all over the news, of the fact that he's being paid 10% in a deal with his son with China, which is a military deal. So he is an enemy of the state. He has committed treason. And the emolument clauses while he was vice president were as bad almost as Hillary Clinton. So Pelosi, as the Speaker of the House, has to certify the candidates. Okay. Well, that's where the first fraud came. And Kamala Harris is not eligible. We've gone over that 1,000 times. So Pelosi committed fraud. Right there, that could turn the whole thing. Secondly, if it goes to the House, they have to divide up according to their congressional districts, and Pelosi doesn't control it, and she doesn't control who's on what committee. This is already predetermined. And then they take a vote. Same thing, then that's for the president. And then in the Senate, they do the same thing, all by numbers, and then they vote on who the vice president would be. In which case, you could have a president and vice president of different parties, if it turned out that way. This has never happened in history. So that's what you don't want to have happen, is that it goes to them, because we're not a democratic country. We don't vote by popular vote. We don't elect, by popular vote. We make our votes, and then we trust the electors that we vote for, who it is a federal crime for the elector not to vote for who the popular vote and or what the individual state's rules and mandates are in relationship to who an elector can vote for and how that process must be followed. But those are elected officials who will commit a crime that is, a federal felony for an elector not to vote in the fashion that the state has prescribed. So there would be fraud. So if a single elector or any state's electors could also be considered fraud. And then all these other frauds that have happened, like in Washington State, in Arkansas, in Florida, in previously in Broward County, the same thing is happening again to some degree in Florida. It's happening massively. They didn't allow poll watchers to come into Pennsylvania, especially Philadelphia. So the Philadelphia count is a complete fraud. So there are many cases of fraud that could put it into the Supreme Court, which would have to determine whether that was fraud, and we think that that would be just a circus.
But this is not just the presidential election. It's also the Senate and the Congress and so many others, because we've watched here in Michigan where John James had a huge lead on that turkey butt, Gary Peters. So anyway, John James, a young black man, has a huge lead, and overnight it's narrowed, and now it's, what I hear, it's flipped. What's this about? We have to hit the fraud that's going on at all levels. How did we do that?
Well, in 2016, Jill Stein and Hillary Clinton declared they wanted a recount. So they went to, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and then they came to Detroit. They didn't even do all of Michigan when they found out that Detroit had voted as many people who lived in Detroit, man, woman, and child, Republican, Democrat, didn't matter. The total number of people in Detroit voted completely 100% for Hillary Clinton, and there were thousands of extra votes. So all they did is they took the population and claimed they had that many votes. That's when the recount stopped. So all you have to do is ask for the 3%, which is the federal rule, determine that there is fraud and force the National Archivist to declare the fraud, or point out all these fraudulent activities in these different states, and then question the validity of it and ask for a recount in those states. If they do not have paper ballots to back them up, which is a federal law, then it becomes the biggest confused election in American history.
Okay.
Where we're all going to have to learn the rules and the laws because they've never been used before.
Okay, so at the risk of sounding oversimplistic, I think that we've got a universally applied legal principle that can be used to assess all of these mail-in ballots all over the country. And we've all heard of it. It's called chain of custody. And in a criminal case or a civil case, if you can't prove that a piece of evidence has a consistent chain of custody from the person who created it to the person who's holding it now, then that evidence in all courts must be thrown out and not used. And so we're talking about a ballot, and a ballot is something that is sacred between you and the people. And so you create that ballot. The state, whoever's handling these votes, has to prove an unbroken bipartisan chain of custody between there and the time it goes in the tally system. And if you can't prove that, that document has to be thrown out as unreliable evidence. And so with all of these ballots that are being brought in by boxes, you just look at it. If you can't prove that the person's name on there was the person who actually filled it out, you throw it out.
Yeah, but Mike,
I think all these ballots are going to get thrown out.
And change the laws in a lot of states. In some states, the signatures don't even have to match anymore.
Well, there's where you're going to see probably the telltale signal of the Pilgrim Society drones who've pushed all that through. Well, start looking at the people who promoted those laws, and I think you're going to find our culprits.
Well, but Betsy's right. Sanctuary cities. Remember when Jeff Sessions went after them and said, no federal money because you are breaking the law. You're endangering your people. You're letting criminals released who are murderers, multiple felons. And you are not enforcing the rules of the Immigration Customs Enforcement. And basically, now in San Francisco, they passed a law that says illegal immigrants can vote. So as they do these things and act as if they are actually part of the U.S. Constitution or in any way legal, because they are allowed and they're not contested, then no judge wants to go near them. They're going to say, oh, well, this is the price of doing business. This is just standard operating procedure. And there's no problem. You know, I can't rule on fraud during an election.
Sure you can. That's your job, Joe.
That's insanity. Okay. Well, that's what we're dealing with. But remember, we can't forget that the biggest influencer in this election is George Soros, not only for the way that we mentioned placing people in the right positions during the 2018 election, literally buying those positions, but buying the ballot harvesting. That was George Soros, just like he was the person who paid for the boats to bring the supposed migrants, who are actually Islamic terrorists attacking Europe, into Europe. We called that a long time ago, the non-government organizations that George Soros has given billions and billions. He gave $84 billion just a few years ago to these organizations. They are so chock full of money. And who did it go to? It went to Obama's new foundation, which went to his house that he's never been in that we pay for, where Eric Holder and Valerie Jarrett have been held up in the OFA, the reformed Obama campaign machine, which still had millions and millions, over $10 million left over from George Soros's donations. Obama had a surplus at the end of the time. It went into gerrymandering. And it went into rigging the Board of Electors and the Board of Elections throughout every single battleground state.
I must point out, in 2011, your Jocelyn Benson was founder and director of the Michigan Center for Election Law, which supported specifically integrity and transparency in elections and redrawing and redistricting maps for the state.
Obama's Organizing for Action was the source of Black Lives Matter, which is a terrorist. It's a domestic terrorist group, and Antifa, which is an international and domestic terrorist group. Those were funded directly through Eric Holder, who should have gone to jail for Fast and Furious, and Valerie Jarrett, who should have gone to jail for the coup on Trump. Because remember, she was telling Obama what to do. She is Obama and Big Mike Obama handler, and has been ever since she worked for the mob in Chicago and brought the mob to D.C. So the Obama birther issue, well, that should have been stopped right there. Who verified that Obama's birth certificate was real? That would have been the Speaker of the House. And so it's Pelosi who has committed this fraud. It is Soros and every one of the NGOs, because they're partisan. You can't be not-for-profit and be partisan, openly partisan. It's supposed to serve everyone. It's supposed to be more than bipartisan. It's supposed to be universal. Well, that's fraud too. So what happens? This is the standard George Soros color revolution. He contested the previous election. But remember, it's not just contesting it. It's the propaganda beforehand, during, and after, and then contest the election by using social media, which we just saw social media turned off all the Republicans, turned it off, and mainstream media just turned it off, where they got the point of their narrative as the only thing you see on the screen now. So our election ended because mainstream media, what did they say? New York Times was going to call the election. No, the voters call the election, but mainstream media did call this election so that it would be the appearance, the spin, the narrative that Trump is going to steal the election and refuse to leave the White House. What did Pelosi say just the other day? We are inaugurating Biden as the leader of this country after the election, no matter what the election is, no matter what the results are. That's where they're at. They actually believe that their fascist, communist, socialist excuse that they call the Democrat Party is not what it is. And that is, it is an aristocratic, elitist group of federalists who have overthrown states' rights. And now we have the federal judges in these states, the circuit courts, making determinations about state voting laws. If it is a state law, then why would a federal circuit judge in Texas or in Pennsylvania make these determinations? And why would John Roberts not hear the case of Pennsylvania and Texas when these were outright fraud? Because it's all rigged. John Roberts, as we point out, is already paid off by George Soros and the globalist gang. The NGOs have already got everyone infiltrated throughout the government, both in non-government, and then we have these senior executive service on the inside. So why isn't Homeland Security right now screaming and calling the U.S. Marshals to intervene? Well, if they don't, Trump has the right to have the National Archives reject a fake Electoral College vote and or call into question through fraud and force it into the Supreme Court. And then it will at least be the court of public opinion, because everybody's going to be watching it to some degree, and contest this. We, the winners, must contest. And that's what is a failure in most of the color revolutions. Soros has outed, out of his 14 color revolutions, I think 9 or 10 people who were duly elected. He got them out of office because his NGOs, working with the CIA and many of our horrible organizations that parade as our basically our shadow government, which are really deep state globalists, they go into these countries and they manipulate elections all over the place. And so they're pros at it. And so they're doing it this time here. And if you keep the mask over your face, when you now know that the CDC says there's been about 43,000 possible deaths of coronavirus in this country, and we're under lockdown, and we had to break all the election rules, and we had to allow this fraud to continue that's been continuing for a long time. Well, this is the chance for Trump to bring it into the light and to disinfect it with the light of the sun, because this is the worst mold and scum growing in the swamp.